Amen, amen. Hey, who's excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on, I am so excited. Oh man, I'm so excited to preach. This morning service, it was an amazing morning service, and so I just cannot wait to get into it. Oh, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for a month, and I've been fasting. I've been just believing that God is going to do something amazing in your life today, and that there's going to be breakthrough, there's going to be healing. I'm just believing for something powerful to happen. But before I get into my word, I just want to do a couple things. First thing I want to do is I want to just thank Pastor Sam for just the opportunity to come and share with you. And I just want you guys to know that you have one of the greatest pastors in the entire country at this church. We have one of the greatest leaders, one of the greatest worshipers, one of the greatest, most anointed men. When I came here, when I first came here, I've only been here a couple months. When I came here, I got texts from all over the country saying, man, you are an amazing church. You have an amazing pastor. And so I want you to know that we are so blessed. And also thank you, Pastor Brenda, for just bringing me in and making me feel like family. You are amazing. You are a true joy to the staff and this church and me. And so thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. And the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to get into it because I can't wait, is if you haven't gone, since I've been here, if you haven't been to Vertical, you need to come on a Wednesday night. We have some people over here that are supporting. We sit over here as our student section, but we have been having some amazing moments since I've been here, and I'm believing that God has done amazing things in the past, but he's going to go from glory to glory to glory. And so if you haven't come out on a Wednesday, you need to come. If you have a student, if you have a teenager, if you are a student, you need to come and be a part of it. And also, Thursdays is our young adults, and so if you haven't come out to young adults, you got to come and you got to be a part of it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. God's going to do amazing things. Well, I'm going to get into it now because, like I said, I'm ready. We had an amazing morning. And so if you are with me, you can turn to Luke chapter 15 through 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 20. And for me, I love going to God's word. Every time I speak, I always go to God's word first because it's not just me coming up with this stuff. It's the Lord speaking to me through his word and then me being able to communicate it to you. And so if you can, you can turn to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 20. And some of you have heard this text before. This text is known as the prodigal son or the parable of the lost son. And I'm believing that even though you might have heard this story before, even though you might have read it multiple times, that God's going to speak to you in a new way today. And that revelation is going to come to you and that you're going to have breakthrough and God's going to challenge you to do even more than what you're doing now. And so if you're ready, say, let's go. Oh, come on, let's get it. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, catch that, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The title of my message, if you are taking notes, or like Pastor would say, if you're cool and you have the app, the title of my message today is The Hill. Turn to your neighbor and say, The Hill. All right, let's pray and then let's get into it. So God, thank you so much for the opportunity for me to share your word. God, I'm believing for something supernatural to happen today. God, I believe the right people are in this room for this right word. And so help me communicate clearly. Let us have ears to hear what you desire us to hear. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. 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 So I have a quick question here. Has anyone ever heard the phrase uphill battle? Like, that was an uphill battle. You ever heard that phrase? Raise your hand if you've heard that phrase, uphill battle. Okay, well, I'm going to give you some uphill battles that if it relates to you, I just want you to wave at me, okay? I just want you to wave at me if this relates to you, okay? So first one, getting your kids dressed and ready for church. Raise your hand. Uphill battle, all right? How about this one, young people? Doing homework instead of binge watching Netflix. Come on, raise your hand if it's an uphill battle. I just want to watch TV, all right? I don't want to do no, you know, physics or math. Who wants to do math when you can watch TV? You know what I'm saying? Okay, anyway, how about this one? Working out, uphill battle. It's too far. It's only like 5 minutes to gym, too far. Can't do it. No way I'm making it. I'm not getting out of bed, all right? How about this one? Eating healthy, raise your hand. You don't understand, Taylor, when I pass Steak and Shake, it just calls my name. I don't know what it is. I just got to go to it. How about this one? This is the last one. How about this? And this is for some, like, real people in here. You got to be real and honest. Getting out of bed some days. Uphill battle. Just getting out of bed. Putting on clothes. I just want to stay here, sleep all day, all right? But for my parents and for me, I had an uphill battle. My parents had an uphill battle. And that was me sleeping in my own room. Okay, so there's three phases of this. The first phase, what I would do, they'd bring me upstairs, they'd put me up into my bed, and then I would get out of my bed, and I'd walk downstairs, and I'd go into the living room, and they'd be in there, and I'd be like, Mom, I can't sleep. Is it okay if I just, you know, stay down here? They're like, fine, Taylor, you can sleep down there. I was like, okay, cool. And I'd sleep on the couch, and I'd just sleep, and then they'd pick me up, and then they'd put me there. And then eventually they got to the point where they're like, Taylor, you can't do this every night, okay? You just got to go. You got to go to bed in your bed. And I was like, okay, fine. So the second phase, what ended up happening is that they would put me to bed, and then after they put me to bed, I would get up, and I would walk down the stairs, and I would just sit and lay on the stairs and fall asleep on the stairs. Okay? I know, I was a weird kid. And I would sit there, and then my parents, they would come to me, and they're like, as they're going up to bed, they'd be like, Taylor, like, what are you doing? I'd be like, what happened? I just woke up here. I must have slipwalked. What happened? And they're like, whatever, get up. Come on, let's go to bed. And it got to the third phase where after that, they're like, Taylor, you can't sleep on the stairs. You got to sleep in your bed. You can't do it. I was like, okay, fine. I got it. So the third phase, they brought me upstairs. They put me in bed, and I wouldn't go to sleep. I would just wait for them to go to sleep. After they went to sleep, I would get up out of my bed, and I'd walk over into my parents' room. And I would go to my dad's side, because if I went to my mom's side, she'd kill me. I went to my dad's side, and I would just stand there, and I'd stare at him. I'd be like, Dad. He wouldn't wake up. And my dad, I love my dad so much, but this dude, he don't flinch. Like, if you watch scary movies with him, he'd never flinch. You couldn't scare him in the house. And so I'd be like, Dad. And I'd like finally like get to the point where I'd nudge him, and like he'd like feel the nudge, and then he'd open his eyes and he'd be like, oh, Taylor. He's like, you can't do that. I was sleeping. I'm so sorry, but I scared you. He's like, you can't do that. I was like, I'm so sorry. I need to sleep in here. Parents, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it, because if you would tell me that tonight, if I went home and I went to bed, that halfway through the night, that I would wake up and see a tiny human and standing in front of me, I'd lose my mind, okay? Like, I'd fall asleep with a knife, I'd fall asleep with a fork, you know? Like, I can't handle waking up and seeing a tiny human in front of me. It ain't gonna happen. I don't know how you do it, parents. I made up in my mind, when I'm a parent, I'm not a parent yet, I've made up in my mind, when I'm a parent, I'm locking the doors. I'm locking the doors, all right? If my kids have a problem, they can knock on the door. I'll wake up peacefully. I'll wake up peacefully. I'll open the door. KK, come on. You can come in. You can sleep. All right. It's okay. All right. I've seen too many scary movies. I know how it ends. All right. But it was an uphill battle for me to sleep in my bed. But in the story that I just read you, we find that there's a hill. We find that there is an uphill battle for two individuals. And you're like, wait, hold on, Taylor, wait. A hill? When I read the scripture, there was no hill in it. Okay, let me explain. When you read this text, you have to understand where Jesus is talking about this text. Jesus, when he's explaining this story, he's in Israel. Israel, if you've never been, is a place with a lot of hills and mountains and valleys. So when the text says that the boy went onto a distant country, he went through hills and valleys and mountains to get to where he was. Then he's like, okay, I gotta go back. And then he went through hills and valleys to the point where the text also says that the father saw him from afar and went to him. So it's only proper, and some scholars believe that the father went outside the village to get to his son. So it's only proper that this meeting place where these two came together would be on a hill. And what I want to do today is I want to talk with you about what both of these two did to get to this meeting place. I want to talk to you from the perspective of the father, and I want to talk to you from the perspective of the son, and what they did to get here, and what we can learn and apply to our lives. So the first one I want to talk about is the father. Are you ready? Ooh, it's going to get good. Luke chapter 15 says this in verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So he saw the son, he ran, and then he held him. Side note, what father, after a son pretty much says, I wish you were dead, what father looks for his son? He saw him, he ran, and he held him. And what I want to talk about today, what I want to talk about and focus in regards to the father's perspective is the run. Because if it wasn't for the run, there might have not been a held. And so what we can learn and what we can apply to our life is this, is that we need to run after those who are hurting. See, it would have been so easy for the father to have seen his son and then just waited for his son. It would have been so easy for the father, even probably appropriate for the father to see his son and turn in disgust. But no. The father said, no. I see my son. I need to go after him. See, it would be so easy for us to just wait for hurting people to come to us. See, it would be so easy to just sit in a pew and wait for people to come to church. It'd be so easy to go throughout our workplace and not say a word or not mention that we're a believer and just hope that people would come to know this faith. See, it'd be so easy for us to walk through our schools and our colleges and just think, oh man, maybe someone will know that I'm a believer and then I can maybe pray for them. It'd be so easy to do that. But I want you to know something, that God has not called us to do what is easy. He called us to do what is extra. When he gave us the Great Commission, he said to go and make disciples, not to stay and wait. See, we need to do extra with this very gift that he's given us. We can't just hold it for ourselves. We can't just keep it to ourselves. We have to say, you know, I'm going to go. I need to do something extra. This father, he saw his son. He said, my son's hurting. I need to go to him. I need to run to my son. And something so important about this follow, so important, is that in biblical times, Middle Eastern men, they were not supposed to run. It was seen as a dishonorable thing or a shameful act. But this father said, you know what? I don't care what anyone else thinks about me. It doesn't matter what happens. I need to get to my son. I will humiliate myself to get to my son. Listen, sometimes asking someone to come to church can be uncomfortable. Sometimes praying for someone can be awkward. Sometimes when you're in your workplace, it might be difficult to stand and be a light in your workplace. Students, some of you here, it might be hard. It might be even to the point where it's humiliating to stand up for your faith. But I want you to know that there is a cost. There is a cost to reach others. The Father, when he wanted to reach us, our Heavenly Father, God, when he wanted to reach us, he sent his Son to die on a cross for us. There's a cost to reach people. He said, I need to get to my kids, and so in order to get to them, I need to send my Son to die on a cross. And I'm wondering if there's anyone in here that would be willing to count the cost, that would be willing to say, I will run after those that are hurting. I will run after my family. I will run after my friends. I will run after my kids. I will run after my grandkids. Even when they keep saying no to coming to church, I'm going to keep asking them. Even though, parents, your kids don't follow the Lord, I'm going to keep praying for them. Grandparents, even though your kids or maybe your grandkids are struggling or they're having a hard time, you're going to continue to keep loving them. Continue to keep caring for them. Students, even though your friends have told you no, or maybe make fun of you for your faith, we need to keep asking. I want to share something. This was extra. God told me to do this, so I apologize. I didn't do this in the first service, but this was extra. And I only need to talk to the students for just a moment. What I've realized in 10 years that I've been in ministry, with youth ministry, I've seen a lot of great leaders raise up great ministries. I've seen a lot of great people do a lot of great things for God. But what I haven't seen is I have yet to see when someone is talking or being interviewed, a great leader of awakening or a movement, what I have yet to see is them, when they are talking, say, it really wasn't me. It was a student that led this movement. It was one of my kids that something inside of them was so powerful that they had to go and do something about it. I'm believing, listen to me, students, I'm believing that the next great awakening is not going to come from a great leader or a great pastor, but it's going to come from a student. It's going to come from you taking ownership and saying, I need to go after those that are hurting. Could it be you that starts it? Only takes one. Only takes one person. All right, sorry. I had to be dad for a moment. We need to run. Another aspect of his running that's so powerful. This is so good. Another aspect of him running is this. Is that the father, in running to his son, it negated the ability for the son to turn back. Follow. In Exodus chapter 34, we find that Moses, on Mount Sinai, he comes down and his face is glowing. He comes down, his face is glowing, and the Israelites get fearful to the point where they start to turn from him and flee. And so he's like, no, hold on, guys, no, come on. I need to teach you something. No, it's okay. Come on, come back. Listen, sometimes when people get so close to following the Lord, so close to taking that next step, so close to the light, what ends up happening is that the enemy will put guilt and shame into their minds and into their life to the point where they focus so much on the darkness that when they get so close, they see it, or maybe they even see you, but then they turn away. They get so close. Oh, no, I can't. I don't deserve that. They come to church and they're about to give their life, but oh no, I've done too much. God couldn't forgive me. Oh, no, it's not for me. We need to be the one that runs after those people and say, no, it's okay. You do deserve this. No, it's okay. You might have darkness in your life, but I'm telling you that God can help you and He can heal you. No, it's okay. Come on. Come to church with me. No, it's okay. You can. I'll walk with you up to this altar to give your life. It's okay. We need to be the ones running after people so they don't turn back. What a shame it would be. What a shame it would be if people were so close to coming to know the Lord, but then the enemy spoke so much evil and darkness that they turned away because we didn't run after them. See, for me, I had the opportunity of running after someone. When I was in ninth grade, I got saved, I was into drinking, I was into partying, I was into doing drugs, all that stuff, and I radically gave my life to Jesus. And after I gave my life to Jesus, a lot of my friends noticed that. And I started to even push away some of those friends that weren't good for me. But there was one friend in particular that noticed it, and his name was Alex. And he was a great friend of mine. He was a senior, I was a freshman. And every time that I would talk with him or connect with him and hang out with him, I'd always ask him, hey man, is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there anything, hey, do you want to come to church with me? Hey man, bro, you should come check out youth group. It'd be great. You should come. And no, I'm okay, man. It's okay. That's your thing. No, don't worry about it, man. It's okay. I was like, all right, no problem. A couple years go by and we're still hanging out. And I continue to ask him, hey man, you want to come to church? No, it's okay, man. I'm praying. Okay. And we were like, okay, fine, cool. It's okay. No worries. Couple years go by, and the reason why we were connected is that we played on the golf team together. Any golfers in here? Not much response ever for that. But we played on the golf team together, and so that's how we stay connected. So we always go hit balls and just hang out and have a good time. And then my sophomore year in college, we're in my dorm room, we're just talking. I'm talking about life and faith and just sharing about what God's done in my life and nothing crazy. And he comes to me, he says, Taylor, I want what you have. How do I get what you have? And in that moment, my sophomore year of college, 6 years later, I was able to pray for him as he gave his life to Jesus. 6 years of running, 6 years of going uphill, 6 years of not, 6 years, took 6 years to get to that point. And some of you in here need to get a burden in your heart that you say, I'm going to run after those that are hurting. I'm not going to put a time limit on it. I'm not going to put an agenda on it. I'm just going to run after those that are hurting and do whatever it takes to get them to see what I have and how it could bless and change their life. We need to run after those that are hurting. The second perspective that I'm going to talk about, we have the fathers now. The second is the boys, the sons' perspective. Luke chapter 15, 17 through 18 says this. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants had food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. This boy was struggling. This boy needed help. This boy said, I can't do this on my own. I went to go party. I went to have a good time, and it just didn't work out for me. I need my father again. And see, some of you in here today feel just like this boy. You're hurting. You need help. You've been trying so hard. You just keep hitting roadblocks. And what I want to do is I want to talk to you about what this boy did. What this boy did to get to the hill. And what we can learn from this boy. And that is this. We need to get in sight of our Father. This son, he had this idea, this preconceived idea, oh man, what I need to do, oh, I just got to get back to my father, I just got to go and I'll be a servant, all this stuff. And then what ended up happening is he got to the point where he saw him, and that was enough. But I want you to know something. In the text, it says this, that he had to come to his senses, that he came to his senses. I want you to know something. You cannot get in sight of the Father until you come to your senses. You need to realize, I can't do this on my own any longer. I've tried way too hard. I've tried to do everything I could. It's just not working out. I'm trying to push forward. I'm trying to do all these things. I just feel like I'm just hitting this roadblock. You have to come to this mindset that I need someone. I need a father. I need someone to look out for me because I keep trying to do it myself and it's just not working. You need to come to your senses. You must realize I need him. Two things, though, that keep us from getting in sight of the Father. Two things. The first one is this. Pride keeps us from getting into the Father's sight. The son in the story, he had some pride issues. Watch. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out. So he... The moment where he lost everything, he could have went back and been like, oh, I tried, I messed up, it's okay, I'm going to head back to my father, I'm just going to, you know, go apologize. But in that moment, he said, no, I'm going to try to hire myself out, and I'm going to just try to do it myself, figure it out myself. Isn't that how culture and society is? We mess up, we fail. We fail God. No, I got it. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. I'll do it my own. It's okay. It's okay. I keep failing, but I'm just going to keep pushing through. I don't need no God. No, I got it. I got it. It's okay. I'll figure it out. I'll keep pushing. I'll keep getting to this point. No, it's okay, Taylor. I don't need anybody. I don't want any help. But the truth is this. Yeah, you don't need anybody. Because the anybodies in your life have been the father that left you, has been the mom that didn't support you, has been those friends that when you needed them the most, they weren't there. Or maybe that girl or that guy that broke your heart. Yeah, you don't need anybody because the anybodies have failed you. You need a somebody, and that somebody's name is Jesus. And he can come and he can hold you and he can take care of you. He can give you purpose. He can heal you. You need Jesus in your life. Don't let pride keep you from getting to the Father. The second thing that keeps us from getting in sight of the Father is this. Oh, it's so good. Is this a preconceived idea of what God will do to us? This son, when he's journeying back, He makes up in his mind, I'll just go back as a servant. I'm going to go back. He's not going to accept me. I'm not going to be a son anymore. I'm just going to go back. I'm going to work. He might even kill me. He might even hurt me, but I'm just going to try. I'm just going to try to go back, but I'm not going back as a son. What ends up happening for many of us is we get this preconceived idea of what God will do to us if we choose to come to Him. We think in our head, man, I don't deserve this. Man, he's gonna hate me for what I did yesterday. He's gonna hate me for the way I've lived my life. He's gonna harm me. He's not gonna give me purpose. He's gonna laugh at me. He's not gonna take care of me. He's not gonna hold his arms around me. He's not gonna do anything like that. There's no way a God that's so strong and mighty would care about a person like me. But I want you to know something. That mindset, that idea of who God is so far from the truth. The God that you serve, the God that I serve, is a God that loves you and cares about you and gives you grace and gives you mercy, and that when He does see you, He doesn't see your sin. He sees a healing that can take place in your life. He doesn't see your hurt. He sees the love that He can come in and do amazing things and shift something in your heart. I want you to know that we need to stop disqualifying ourselves when He's already qualified ourselves through Christ. Stop thinking all these negative things because the God we serve is so powerful and so loving and cares so much about you. For me, I had a moment where I was trying to get in sight of my Father. I didn't know it at the time, but I was trying to get in sight of Him because I needed Him. When I was in ninth grade, like I said before, I was into partying, I was into drinking, I was doing weed. And one Saturday night, I went to a party. I got drunk, smoked weed, passed out, woke up the next morning, and I got up smelling like weed, smelling like alcohol, hungover. I got up and I was like, I gotta go to church. I need to go to church. Like any real people in here, you wake up on a Sunday sometimes, you're like, I just got to go to church. Okay, I had a bad week. I need to go to church. I had a bad Saturday. I need to go to church. For me, I was like, I got to go to church. Like, I got to go. And so I was like, you know, I'm just going to go. I'm not going to take a shower. I'm not going to get ready. I was already kind of late. So I was like, I'm just going to go. And I'm going to try to just slip in. Just going to try to slip in. We had a bigger church. It wasn't as big as this, but there was like a balcony like that. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to slip in. No one's going to see me. I'm going to sit in the back. You know, God's going to see me. I'm going to do my time. I'm going to feel good about myself. I'm just going to slip in. That's my thought. So I go to church and I'm walking up here. Camera guy, you did a good job last time. Thank you. And I go to church and I want to do this so you guys can see, because I literally remember it like it was yesterday. I go to church and I walk through the door. It's a little late and I make it through, not talking to anybody. And as I'm going to walk into the sanctuary, I walk through the door and I look ahead and I see my youth pastor. And immediately my heart went into my gut. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ever got that text from, like, your boss or from the one that you love? Like, hey, baby, we need to talk. You ever got that text? That was, like, the feeling I had. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, I can't, like, I see him. I was like, oh. And my youth pastor, I was really close with my youth pastor. My youth pastor was like, Taylor, oh, it's so good to see you. Bro, this is awesome. I was like, oh, yeah, it's great to see you. And I was like, I can't hug him because he'll smell the weed and the alcohol. I can't do it. So I'll just like shake his hand. I was like, I'll shake your hand. Stay away from me, boy. I'm going to shake his hand. He's like, Taylor, come on, bring it in, buddy. And he gives me a hug. And I'm like, oh, it's over. He knows. He knows. He smells the weed. I was trying to talk on my breath. I was like, hey, thanks, Pastor. I appreciate it. And he looks at me. He's like, Taylor, bro, come sit with me and Pastor up front. I was like, what'd you say? He's like, bro, come sit with me. I was like, I'm in. He's like, no, it's okay. This dude grabs my arm and just starts bringing me up front. And while I'm going up front, I just look up. I'm like, I see you, God. You think you're funny. And I walk up and I sit next to Pastor and my youth pastor, smelling like alcohol and weed. But listen, I didn't know at the time, but I was trying to get inside of my father. I was trying to figure this life out. And I just knew I had to come. And listen, a week after that service, that message, a week after is when I recommitted my life to Jesus and I fully went after him. There was power in that moment of me coming to try to get inside of my father. I want you to know something. That some of you here today, you showed up because you're trying to get inside your father. You showed up because you're hurting. You showed up because you know, I can't keep doing this by myself. And in a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to get inside of your father. So there you have it. You have the boy's perspective, and you have the father's perspective. And it leads me to the most amazing part of this story. It leads me to probably the most amazing story climax that Jesus has ever told. Most powerful moment in this story. And what I call it is, I call it the embrace point. Pastor Tim, can you come? This embrace point where the father, after this uphill battle, and the son, after his uphill battle to get to this meeting place, this embrace point happens when they see each other and they embrace each other. They embrace each other. And everything that they did to get to this point was worth it. For the Father's perspective, follow me. For the Father's perspective, all of his praying, all of his looking, all of his waiting, it was worth it when he saw his son and he ran after him and he embraced him. And some of you in here today, whether it's today or a week from now or a month from now, I'm believing that you are going to have an embrace point moment. That son or that daughter that you've been praying for is going to come to you and say, I want to get my life right. That friend that you've been asking to come to church for so long will walk through these doors and sit down and give their life to Jesus. That friend in school that you've been trying to reach, that friend that you've been trying to be a light to, they're going to walk through the doors of youth group. They're going to come in and they're going to give their life to Jesus. And everything that we did to that moment would be worth it. All the praying will be worth it. All the asking will be worth it. All the waiting for your kids and grandkids to come will be worth it. But listen. Listen, you cannot get to the embrace point if you give up. You cannot get to that moment that you've been praying and asking for if you give up, if you stop praying, if you stop asking, if you stop being a light in your workplace. You will not get to that point that you've been desiring. We need to be people. Let's say, I won't give up. I'm not going to quit on my kids. I'm not going to quit on my grandkids. I'm not going to give up on my friends at school. I'm not going to give up on my coworkers. I'm going to run after them. And we're going to have an embrace point. For the boys' perspective, the embrace point. The embrace point, his journey. His journey, his thinking, I just got to get back to him and I'll be a servant. It's okay, I'll just get back to him. Hopefully you don't kill me. I'd probably kill me if I was him. I'm just going to get back to him. He gets to being in sight of his father. And he sees his father run after him. And he feels his father put his arms around him. And all the journey, all the hurt, all the heartache, all the trying to figure it out for himself, all of that was worth it because he got to his father. He got to his father, and his father hugged him, and in that moment, he knew he had purpose. He was healed. He had identity. That his sins were forgiven. He even tried, hey, Dad, I appreciate you hugging me and all that, but I'll just be a servant. No, stop. All in one moment, he felt the love of his father, and it shifted his life forever. But I want you to know that boy could not have gone to the embrace point if he didn't choose to come home.